Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 10. And as with many things in the gospels, as we approach it this morning, there is always something that goes before it. And this particular passage is from a discourse in Matthew's gospel. Matthew tends to write long sermons or long teachings of Jesus, where some of the others just give us little snippets of things. But Jesus has been talking with his 12 disciples and talking to them about what they will be able to do and what they should do as disciples that filled with the Holy Spirit and doing the work of Jesus Christ on earth. And so we are coming to the end of this discourse that he has been giving to his disciples, and they have been out and about trying to do their best, and they have come back. And now Jesus tells them these words in Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this passage, and the title of my sermon today is Welcome. I say welcome to everyone here. Everyone wants to be welcomed at one time or at another. We none of us want to be the ones left out in the cold. We don't want to be the one that everyone stares at when you walk through the door, you know, that sort of a thing. We know what it is to welcome. It was interesting. A few weeks ago, I had some friends here from northern Minnesota, and my friend had brought two of her teenage sons, and they just could not get over how friendly everyone in Missouri was. They'd go to the grocery store and they'd come back and they'd say, everybody is just so nice. And they just couldn't get over it. People would say, excuse me, even when they didn't need to, or they would talk to them without even knowing them. They just could not get over how kind and nice everyone was when they were here. Nice is part of making people welcome. It's one of the ways we welcome folks. Another way is that we make room for them. Whenever someone special is coming to visit, what do? We clean our house. Even if our house is clean, we clean a little more. We change the sheets on the bed. We make the room extra special. We try to make sure that the food they like is in the refrigerator. When they arrive, we offer them something to drink, something to eat. We make them as comfortable as possible, and we add a place for them at the dinner table. We add a place for them in our lives. We want them to know that they are welcome. Well, in recent years, the church has tried very hard to become more welcoming. There are books written, there are articles written on how you can be a more welcoming congregation. And so it would be surprising to think that all of us know how to make people feel welcome. We do it all the time. But when we get together, apparently as the church, we need to have a book or a leaflet that tells us how to be welcoming and know perhaps what we already know to do. But sometimes it's good to be reminded that an extra special welcome is needed. So at church, we try to be welcoming. We want people to feel comfortable. We want them to know we're so glad they showed up. We want to make sure that they stay with us, and we may show them around, especially the important things like the drinking fountain and the restrooms. We might get information about them, like who sings, who plays instruments. Have you just moved here? What are ways we can make you feel more at home? Sometimes welcoming in a church can feel a little bit like pouncing. It can be a little overwhelming when you're the first visitor who apparently has been there in 15, 20, or 30 years, maybe. And all of a sudden, everyone is so glad you're there. And when you're an introvert like me, you just want to sink underneath the pew. We wonder, whenever someone new comes among us, will they join us? Will they like us enough to come back? No pressure on all of you visitors who are out there. We wonder, when new people come among us, will they become part of our family? Will they contribute to our ministry? Will they? All those sorts of things. But this passage reminds us that welcoming is not just about welcoming another person into our midst and trying to sign them up for programs or ministry or to get them to sing in the choir or to go knitting with us. Welcoming another person is a holy act, because when we welcome a disciple, one who is seeking Christ and following Christ, when we welcome a prophet or one who is bringing us a message from God or a word of truth, when we welcome a righteous person, or even when we welcome the least of these, we are welcoming Christ and we are welcoming the one who sent him. When we welcome another, we are participating in a holy act. We are welcoming the presence of God among us. And that is a far greater endeavor than finding someone to sing alto in the choir. That is a far greater endeavor than finding someone who might teach Sunday school. Welcoming one another, welcoming a stranger, welcoming our fellow disciples, means we are welcoming Christ in our midst. Think about that for a second. Look around the room at each other. When we welcome each other, we are welcoming Christ. When we minister, we are ministering to Christ. Whenever we speak to Christ and as Christ's representative. We do all of this in Christ's name. That is an amazing gift of community. When we are bound together by the Holy Spirit to be this holy, set-apart group that functions in a very different way than perhaps other groups that we are a part of. Whenever we welcome one another, we welcome Christ. When we look at each other, we are to see Christ among us. We are to see the very image of God standing before us. And that leads us to be a very unique kind of community, because we who gather together and spend any time with each other will quickly learn one another's strengths and our weaknesses. We will come to know one another's sins. We will come to know whose sides each other has taken in arguments over the years. We will also have memories of words spoken that may have been very edifying and also may have been very detrimental. We will know what it is to receive forgiveness from one another and to forgive one another. We will celebrate joys together, and we will also work through very difficult times together. The church is a holy community set aside to be the dwelling place of Christ on earth. And so when we welcome one another in this place, or when we welcome those whom we meet outside of this place, we welcome not only a potential new friend, but we welcome Christ, who is walking this earth. When we welcome people to worship, when we welcome them into our faith community, welcome is not about us. It's not about adding to our numbers so we can feel good. But welcoming is an act of worship. It's a divine spiritual act that imitates Christ's actions and welcomes Christ and therefore God in our community. That's a remarkable, remarkable gift. But therein lies the rub. We don't always get to choose how Christ comes to us. And we've got to be ready to welcome him even when Christ comes to us as one of the least of these. We are the one who cares about appearance. We are the ones who care about education and socioeconomic status and gender and age and profession and ethnicity and political ideology and nationality and all of those sorts of things that we can put on another person to divide them from us. But hear the good news of the gospel. None of that matters to Jesus. All of those categories in which we put one another, none of them matter to Jesus. Jesus welcomed amongst his own followers the greatest of sinners. He welcomed his greatest enemies. He welcomed the pious and the extremists. He welcomed the wealthy and the poor, the oppressed and the oppressors. He welcomed the young and the old, the wise and the foolish, the broken and the whole, the learned and the ignorant. Jesus welcomed people of different races and different nationalities and different citizenships. Jesus didn't care from whence one came. Didn't care what they were wearing, didn't care what they smelled like, didn't care what they looked like. Jesus was there to share the good news. And yet we struggle to understand and to be like Christ in those moments. We like the strings attached. We like to say, God loves you, but, and you're welcome here, but. That's just our human tendency. And sometimes when we share the good news, we put those strings on, and then we wonder why no one welcomes us with our good news, because we tend to turn it into bad news. There was, whenever I was living in Savannah, Georgia, there was a man, rain or shine, every day, walked the historic district. And the historic district is only about a mile square. And it's the place where when you say, I'm going to Savannah, it's what everybody thinks of when they go to Savannah, the antebellum homes that are still there and the big squares and the live oaks that stretch over the streets with the Spanish moss waving. It's absolutely beautiful. And this man, though, would walk every day with some sort of apocalyptic sign for 8 hours a day. You know those signs like get right or get left. And the average person doesn't really know what that means unless you asked him. And no one, believe me, no one ever asked him what his signs meant. Because I think they were afraid of the answer. One of his signs said, the answer is no. And I always wanted to know what the question was, but I was not about to ask him. It raises in us a sense that the good news becomes bad news because it's full of condemnation and full of lines being drawn. Last year, whenever I was at the Festival of Nations and eating some really good food, there was a group of people who were shouting those apocalyptic sayings at anybody who would walk by. And I thought, I don't think that's quite getting the message across of the good news whenever you stand in condemnation to another person. That does not invite welcome. That doesn't bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into a place in someone's life when they can see it and welcome it in. Our role is not to fix other people. Our role is not to fix those whom we look at and think, oh, you need fixing. If only you could be more like me. If only you could live your life the way I live my life, everything would be so much better. That's not our job as followers of Christ. Our job is to bring the good news. Our job is to welcome, to embody the good news of Jesus. And the good news is this, that all of us have sinned and all of us are forgiven. The good news is that Christ loves all peoples, that Christ's message is for all peoples. The good news is this, is that while we were all sinners, Christ still died for us, knowing full well who and what we were. The good news is Christ loves the world and all that is in it. The good news is God is love itself, and we can know and experience that love. As we welcome Christ into our lives, we do it just like we welcome a friend. We make room in our lives for Christ. We make a place for Christ in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And we are transformed then because we have encountered this great love. And we can't help but be changed. And the more we welcome Christ into our lives, the more we are able to welcome the Christ who walks into it in the form of another person. The more we are able to welcome, the more we then welcome. The more we are transformed, the more we are able to transform. And we participate in the transforming grace of God in this world. We see the great diversity of Christ and the vastness of God in this world as we make room for others among us. We see that we don't have to be in a particular place in our lives. We just have to be with Christ because Christ is already with us. As we welcome Christ into our lives, we will know what it is to grow and change and to be able, hopefully, to see more clearly Christ among us. So today, as we gather at the table for the sacrament of communion, we gather not at a table that is created by any of us, but is created by Christ. The invitation is laid out by Christ, that all are welcome. People of all nations and all walks of life, people with all trouble, all kinds of troubles and all kinds of joys. Today, the world and all that is in it is welcome at the table of Christ because Christ welcomes us, and so we welcome him. And today, we get to welcome Christ with us as we welcome one another. May we have the courage in the days to come to see others as Christ sees us. And may we have the courage to see Christ in others, even when we would rather look away, even when we would rather not see, even when we would rather condemn. May Christ's Holy Spirit transform us and help us to welcome those whom we meet as we welcome him. Amen.